You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Very good Monday morning to you. The day after Easter. Hope you had a nice Easter weekend if you celebrate Easter. And if you don't celebrate Easter, hope you had a nice weekend all the same. So, yeah, hope it was good, whatever you did. Welcome to a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. I worked all weekend, yeah, and actually stuff that I've been trying to get to for months, so I did that, and I don't know that I meant to do that, but it kind of just happened. You know how once you get going on something, you're like, okay, well, it's not going to take me that long. And then you get into it, and you're there all day. So that's what I kind of did. Going through old files, going through old mail. Yeah, I don't know if you, but do you have a stack of mail that you haven't really gone through all the way? Yeah, I have one of those. Or I did anyway. So I did that. And then I made dinner last night for both my daughters and my ex-wife. My ex-wife, the lovely Susan, Susan has a thing about hiding Easter egg baskets. And I didn't grow up doing that in my family. But Susan did, and she loves it. Yeah, it's an amazing thing to watch. And she's done this for her kids since they were little. Now, mind you, our youngest is 15, okay? I'm not exactly sure when you're supposed to not have a sleeping bag, an Easter basket anymore. But I think when you're 15, I mean, you're like pegging the upper limit of it. Well, the 25-year-old wanted her Easter basket, and she sent Easter baskets to our sons. So I'm not sure that she doesn't have she loves it, though, and she thinks it's funny. And it's always been a special thing as she hid the Easter baskets and laughed as the kids couldn't find them. And when I say kids, I'm like into their 20s, all right? And the kids loved it, partly because they're humoring their mother, partly because it was funny. So we did that last night, too. I made at my older daughter, my oldest daughter, older because there's only two of them, Catherine's request, I made pork chops. Now, I have to tell you that pork chops can be a bit challenging. And I'll tell you why. The first thing I learned about cooking, and I learned this relatively recently, is if you want it to taste better, buy more expensive meat. Yeah, that's what I learned. So, I learned that, and so I apply that to pork chops, which I normally don't do. I normally just buy them from a supermarket in the meat section. Well, I didn't do that. Went to the butcher's and I told them I wanted pork chops, and so I bought better pork chops. And guess what? Lo and behold, it worked. So the meal is actually a meal my mother. It's my mother's recipe. So it's you lightly brown the pork chops, and then you mix this concoction of cream of mushroom soup and condensed milk, and that combined with the juice of the pork chops and the seasoning you put on the pork chops makes delicious gravy. And so the pork chops sit in there and they saute for an hour or so, depending. So, and it came out perfect. Mashed potatoes and peas. The gravy is delicious, by the way. My mom had an affinity for gravy, for whatever reason. So, her pot roast gravy, oh my God. You'd straight up sell the farm for that. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Straight up sell the farm for my mom's pot roast gravy. So I did that. And then, and yesterday wound up, working again, most of the day. So, happy Monday to you. As April, the last full week of April, into May. Next week, which will be interesting. The other thing that happened over the weekend was the story about second Marine Division and discipline, continued to percolate around the internet. And so it's kind of interesting hearing from different people about that. Montana Man chimes in. He's a foodie. Rosemary, garlic, leg of lamb with a red wine, demi-glaze. Ooh. I'm in for that. Montana Man just got a new dog. When we were in Afghanistan, he showed me a picture of his Jack Russell, who is kind of chunky, so he became known as Fat Jack. And he, mashed potatoes, Yorkshire pudding. I don't even know what Yorkshire pudding is. That sounds good, though. Leg of lamb is, for those of you who didn't grow up eating it, absolutely delicious. Kathleen, corporal punishment type, she used to crush that. And now that I think about it, I look at it, it's not a very complicated dish to make. And that was her specialty. High-tasting food, right, without a lot of effort. Like those, the pork chops I made might be at least 10 minutes of effort. And then you let them simmer. Mashed potatoes, they boil for, 20 minutes? Cut them and throw them in there. They boil. Don't even peel them. And then boil the peas. That's pretty low effort for pretty high-tasting food. And leg of lamb's no different. I mean, she, you put the leg in and you season it, and she'd put garlic in it. I don't know that she put rosemary on the outside. She might have. But, I mean, come on, I was a kid. I don't know. So, and then slice potatoes and put them face down and let them cook in the juice of the lamb. And they would have a little crust on them because they were at the bottom. But cooking in that the juices of the lamb, oh, my God, I love that stuff. So, but it wasn't a lot of effort on her part. She was back to watching soap operas and smoking her parliament, man. That's what my mom did. That's right. But Montana Man, Fat Jack passed away here, in the last couple weeks. So they got a new Fat Jack. If somebody knows, I'm curious about this. How do they transport animals? They don't stick like animals in the luggage compartment, do they? You know, and I know people are going to say, yeah, that's how they do it. But I mean, come on. So he just got a little puppy. Puppy flew from Arkansas. And how do the airlines handle that? Pet airline information, animal transportation, American Airlines cargoes. Animals and pets will enjoy a safe trip with American Cargo. For more than 50 years, we've been committed to the welfare of animals entrusted to us. Well, time to find out. So, some of our furry friends are show dogs on their way to win a competition, while some just anticipate reuniting with their best friends. We've helped professionals transport tropical fish, wildlife to exotic locales, and recently flew the U.S. Naval Academy's beloved mascot to its bowl game, which is a goat. Yeah, just for the record. The Army doesn't fly their mule. As pet owners ourselves, we understand how important our friends are to you. Not only are we professionally trained to provide the highest level of safety for every animal that flies with us, well, how do they fly? Transportation options, right? We offer solutions to ensure the highest levels of safety and comfort for animal transport. Aircraft compatibility. Safety of your animal is line number one. Here's why we won't transport them on special aircraft types and operators that don't fit our requirements. What is PPS? If your animal is flying domestically, has a combined weight, animal and container of 100 pounds or smaller, and uses a container no larger than 36 by 26 by 28, then they're flying PPS. What is PPS? See, I was not priority parcel service. The difference. Maximum size, cash payment, time requirements. I want to know the conditions of PPS. Documents required, preparation guidelines. Make sure you've chosen the right kennel for your animal being transported. What's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Kennel interior. Optimize your animal's journey. In case there should be a delay, please tape a small bag of dry dog food to the top. Place live animal and this side up labels. Please attach a label with feeding and watering instructions. Also attach a note that states food and water are offered within 4 hours of the flight. Buy the kennel beforehand so the animal can get used to it. Bring a leash. Include the ID tags of your dogs. Extra security. Multiple pets. Paying for pet transport. Temperature policy. Using hourly forecasts from weather.com, we keep tabs on the temperature in each city along the way to make sure that they're within the acceptable range of the animals on board. For warm-blooded animals, for cold-blooded animals. Pet embargo from some types of aircraft. Regulations are in place to protect your animal. Is your breed clear to travel? Dogs, cats. I still don't. So they stick them in the cargo hold? I was told by somebody that they sedate them and then they put them in the luggage compartment. I'm not okay with that, just for the record. I don't like that. If that's how Jack 2 flew, I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy one bit about that. So, but I don't rightly understand. I would imagine that there is a that there is a safe and sane, a tried and tested way to do this, and that we as a compassionate like nation have figured this out. But I have to tell you, I'm not real, from what I've heard, we're not real pleased about it. So if Jack II didn't fly like that, I'm going to be unhappy, right? Because he's already traumatized before he got to Montana. So anyway, no, I mean, this has been an issue for me, in case you can't tell. I've been giving this some thought. How exactly do animals fly? I mean, in airplanes and stuff, not like, because I know that they don't fly. All right, so anyway. All right, so what we're going to do today, Mike Etor is going to join us. Mike is a former, kind of a little bit of a legend in the Marine Corps, just so you know, back in the day, back in the 80s and the 90s. So he joins the Marine Corps in the 70s. He's been on the program a few times. He now runs a consulting company called Fidelis Leadership. I think that's what it's called. Let me get it right. There it is, Fidelis Leadership Group, Mike Etor, distinguished-looking man there in his picture. So, yeah, you can find it at fidelisleadership.com. So, anyway, Mike joins CMLIS in the Marine Corps. His dad worked at the Picatinny Arsenal, don't you know? Yeah, I know these kind of things because I've interviewed him. Home of the Picatinny Rails. Yeah, so yeah. He had a relationship with guns long before he came in the Marine Corps. So anyway, he enlists in the Marine Corps in the 70s, becomes a drill instructor ultimately, and then he gets commissioned. And so he then goes on to be a Marine who goes to Grenada, Beirut, and then he ultimately gets out of the Marine Corps in the late 90s, retires, and he does work in the private sector, does consulting, I think with Joint Forces Korea, I believe known as K4. So he works for them, and and then he starts Fidelis Leadership. So Mike shot me an email over the weekend because he finds the discussion very interesting. And I think the discussion kind of breaks down into about discipline in the Marine Corps along a few different lines. One is you have Marines who did one enlistment and got out. And their perspective is what you do in garrison, you know, doesn't have any effect about, you know, many of them. I shouldn't paint everybody with such a broad brush, but I will. Their impression of the Marine Corps is, you know, life at the squad level. And, you know, hey, you could have been a shitbag, but, you know, you could have got your shit together when we went forward. And so what you do in garrison really doesn't matter. And, you know, there's a certain amount of validity to that, right? Or else the opinion wouldn't exist. So, what we don't go to war as individuals, we go to war as organizations, as units. And so the issue is not, can a Lance Corporal that's not really good in garrison be really good in combat? The question is, can the organization that's not really good in the United States, they're not really good in garrison. They're not really good when they go to the field. They didn't do really good when they went to CAC. So what are they going to be as an organization when they're fighting somebody real? They're going to be not very good. But they never saw that, right? So, you know, I hear the words, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, because that's essentially their experience, right? So I serve in the Marine Corps one term. and I get out and I see what I see and I form my opinions based on it. So that's one segment. And then there's people that stay in for much longer, and I dare say that their opinion is a little bit different. Their opinion is a little bit different. And then you have people just that with axe to grind relative to the Marine Corps or what, and so you get what you get on the internet. But a pretty interesting little discussion, to wit, it is the top story on military.com, on Marine Corps Times. And so being bandied about, so it'll be interesting. So Mike Etor is going to come on. We're going to talk about his thoughts, and not only, because to me what makes this an interesting subject is that it's not a topic just in Marine land. It's a topic at universities, it's a topic in high schools, it's a topic in communities, you know, is in a culture that has turned its back on adversity, on consequences, and on discipline, that has built itself around your feelings, and you know that you that at whatever age that you being somebody saying please to you in order for you to get to you to do something. How does that work? And how does that work? Right? What happens to the segment of our culture that doesn't do please, that doesn't care about please? Well, I guess that's okay in high school, in middle school. You have time, and hopefully parents can intervene, or ultimately life is going to intervene and teach that person a lesson. But what about in the military? How far down that road can the U.S. military go before it risks the nation? You know? So I think it's an interesting discussion. It's an interesting discussion. And we've talked about this most times. Nations, we talked about this largely relative to politics, but most times nations do not self-correct until somebody else imposes their will on them. Now, to that extent, as Americans, we're lucky, right? Those two big oceans, friendly neighbors to our north and south. You know, we don't live in the same small place that other people live. If we did, probably would be a different story. I think it's an interesting discussion. It's an issue that's going to have legs as people don't let it go. So, but again, so it was interesting to see different articles written, about how, about different people's view of how stupid it is. Right, or the other end of the spectrum about it's about time. It's about time. So it'll be an interesting discussion. All right, so that's what we're doing this morning. However, before we do anything else, we have to make the day official. Oh, let me tell you what else we're going to do today. You're going to hear a feature that we're going to start doing, and it's called Post-Traumatic Winning in Their Own Words. So you're going to hear today a corporal by the name of Josh Gilkey. Josh is the Marine that wrote me the letter maybe 2 weeks ago. I just got on a Saturday morning about how post-traumatic winning had impacted his life. And I always tell people when I speak that I'm the coolest guy here because these things happen to me all the time now. And so I want to share them with you. I want you to hear from young people in their own words, right? Complete with it's unedited, the way they speak, profanity laced and all. You're going to hear from them about what they went through, how it affected them, and then the impact of post-traumatic winning. So, and it's a great story too. And so I'm going to try to bring these to you on a weekly basis. So that, so hopefully, if you have somebody out there that's struggling, you can go ahead and say, hey, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this. And so you'll hear from him in kind of a bonus hour today. So, that'll happen at 10 o'clock Pacific time. So, with that said, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes today official. This is dedicated to our kind of post-traumatic winner of the week, and his name, and you'll meet him here in a little bit, his name is Josh Gilkey, and I told him this when we were talking and recording what you'll hear today, but I mean, I could not be prouder of a young person that I know. Life isn't easy sometimes. And he has done great. And now he's using his own experience to touch the lives of other people. And it is, it's unbelievable. And it's all his hard work, with a little help and support from some of us. So with that said, it's dedicated to Josh Gilkey, Corporal, United States Marine Corps.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech.
That line is money.
But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We'll check the weather here. We'll take a break and then we'll check the news. Currently cloudy in 64 in Quantico. It is sunny in 69 degrees at Camp Lejeune. It's cloudy in 71 in Granbury, Texas. Sunny in 65 in 29 Palms. Mostly sunny at 55 at Pendleton. In Okinawa, it warmed up. Dark, cloudy in 74. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is cloudy in 67. Iraq pretty mild this time of year. In Afghanistan, late in the day, it is partly cloudy and 83 degrees early in the evening. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, it is cloudy and 59. Looking for a high of 71 today, 76 tomorrow, and 74 on Wednesday. So that's exactly what we paid for. All right, let's look at the weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines as we get moving here on a Monday morning. Hope you're having a good day wherever you are. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be in there. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I dream, yeah.
Time to take a look at the news here.
Without any questions, run into danger and show no emotion.
Let me do a rundown of the headlines in Stars and Stripes. Top headline, Army considers better pay for aviation as pilots and crews leave at a record rate. So there you have that going for you today. So if you're an Army aviator, that's good news. The Defense Department identifies a soldier that was killed in a non-combat related incident in Iraq on Saturday. A second Okinawan-based airman in 4 days is arrested on suspicion of drunken driving. Right. And what's really interesting is the is some of the headlines, right, that will make news. So somebody arrested for drunk driving, suspicion of drunk driving in Okinawa. That's the fourth from the top headline in Stars and Stripes today. Okay. And then further down the page, you'll see that the Navy is investigating the case of a camera found in a woman's bathroom on the USS Arlington. Right? That's a international story now. Pretty amazing, right? Pretty amazing. What is news, right? Right. And it doesn't get any hotter than those stories. And these are the top trending stories on Stars and Stripes. Number one, second Okinawa-based airman in 4 days arrested on suspicion of drunken driving. Okay, that's the number one trending story in Stars and Stripes. Number two is the DOD identified soldier who died in Iraq. Number three, Navy investigated for camera found in woman's bathroom. So two of the top three are stories about social behavior of probably lone individuals in a force of millions, and that's what is news. So pretty amazing. Top story in Marine Corps Times. Lejeune 2nd Marine Division mandates daily routine, citing poor discipline and long hair. That might be an oversimplification, but we all know the job of headline writers, right? And that is to make you click. Doesn't mean they have to define the story as it is. It means they have to make you click and get you interested in, and that's exactly what that story does. If you want to hear the whys, you can hear General Furness in his own words, in an interview that's on the website right now, and you can hear that. So you have that going for you. Anyway, Mike Etor is going to come on here in about 18 minutes, and we'll talk to him about, actually, it'll be closer to 23 minutes.
Yeah.
So about 9:05 Eastern time, Pacific time, I'm sorry. Number two story, which gives you an indication that it was a slow news weekend. Blue Angels begin to shift their Super Hornet to the Super Hornet. The move to the Super Hornet will mark the first time the elite Navy and Marine fighter jet demonstration team has changed aircraft since it moved from the A4F Skyhawk to the F-18 Hornet back in 1986. Now they move to the Super Hornet, which, come on, it's not that much of a move. We're going from the Hornet to the Super Hornet? I don't know. It doesn't sound like a big deal to me. All right, next story. All of the M27 rifles are in. If you're not a grunt or working with them, you're not going to get one. Oh, my God. How are people going to react to that? What? I'm not equal to them? No, you're not. If you're not closing with anybody, there's other weapons that you can use that are just as effective to defend yourself. Okay. The Marine Corps is fielding thousands of new M27 infantry automatic rifles to grunts across the service, and for now, it's not buying anymore. It's by Todd South. The last of the M27s came into the Marine Corps inventory last year, expected to be in the hands of each infantryman from platoon commander and below by mid 2021. The proven weapon has increased lethality, among the infantry experts say, and the 30-round capacity rifle can outrange the M4 by 100 meters to 150 meters. The Corps has decided to use the same platform as its designated squad marksman rifle, that is the M38. First saw deployment to Afghanistan in 2011. The commandant liked it. Bit of controversy because it's not made in the United States. All right. So that saga continues, but the Marine Corps has taken possession of what it will take possession of, and as it said, that's the biggest rub. If you're not in an infantry unit or a unit that closes with, you are probably not going to see one. We followed the trial and the different court rulings against Chief Eddie Gallagher, and pretty amazing as those things have come out. The military judge, here's the latest, overseeing the court-martial proceedings for accused Seal War criminal Chief Special Warfare Operator Edward Gallagher has ruled that information gleaned from his seized cell phones can be used as evidence by the prosecution. Captain Aaron Rue, RUGH's decision late Friday clears prosecutors to use a string of text messages and other data they believe will buttress their allegations that Gallagher stabbed to death a seriously wounded and unarmed Islamic State prisoner of war during a 2017 deployment to Iraq and later tried to cover up the killing and intimidate potential witnesses. So this fight has been going on for a while. But the stuff that comes out of it is pretty, as I said, we've talked about this before, it's pretty amazing. So that's the latest in that case. And then two other stories here from Marine Corps Times. One is about, this is Associated Press story. Trump calls Libyan commander pushing to seize Tripoli. President Donald Trump has spoken by phone to Libya's Field Marshal Khalifa Haftar. It looks like Hitler when you see it, right? I talked about this guy before. Who is leading an offensive to take over the capital of Tripoli, the seat of the UN-supported government. According to a readout released by the White House on Friday, Trump and Haftar talked about counterterrorism and the political future of Libya. The call took place earlier last week. In a statement, the White House said, the president recognizes Field Marshal Haftar's It's spelled different. It's Haftar earlier in the story. It's Haftar in this quote. Anyway, Haftar's significant role in fighting terrorism and securing Libya's oil reserves, and the two discussed a shared vision for Libya's transition to a stable, democratic political system. We go back to Haftar. Haftar is aligned with a rival government in the east that is supported by Trump's allies, Egypt and the United Arab Emirates. Fighting between Haftar's army and Tripoli forces threatens to ignite the civil war. So, kind of interesting news from the shores of Tripoli. And then one final story about the Marine Corps has been rotating people to Australia, known as the Darwin Rotational Force. Mew-sized rotation of U.S. Marines starting to arrive in Australia for the largest iteration yet. About 1,700 Marines, now this started as a company years ago, are starting to arrive in Darwin, Australia for training and exercises, the Marine Corps announced on Thursday. Roughly the size of a Marine Expeditionary Unit, or a Mew, it's the largest deployment by Marines to Australia as the eighth iteration of the Marine Rotational Force, Darwin. The new rotation includes Marines from 1MEF and 3MEF, and is comprised of an entire Marine Air Ground Task Force, including ground combat, command, and aviation elements. They forget logistics that are supposed to be in there. Those people won't be happy about that. The deployment will also feature the most capable aviation combat element with four Vipers, 3 UH-1, so the Viper is the latest version of the Cobra. The Venom is the latest version of the Huey. And 10 Ospreys, so big stuff. Now, make no mistake about it, this is a message to China, as the United States continues to push forces further forward, and this is the Marine Corps, something the Marine Corps has been working on, you know, to its credit, for a number of years. So, that going on. Top stories in Early Bird this morning. Number one, VA privatization is the latest battleground for congressional rising stars. This story gets kind of old, because a lot of churn and not a lot of meat at the end of the day. All right, a pair of prominent freshman lawmakers offered sharply different views about the future for the Veterans Affairs Department last week in hearings, bringing the ongoing debate over the fears of departmental privatization to a next generation of elected leaders. The duo, Democratic New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Republican Texas Representative Dan Crenshaw, have both built national followings since their elections last fall and have recently sparred directly over social media concerning rhetoric surrounding Muslims and the September 11th attack. But this week marked each legislator's first focus entry into VA policy discussions, and their comments suggested both will make those issues a key focus in months to come, with very different opinions on the subject. In her home district on Wednesday, Ocasio-Cortez took part in a rally organized by National Nurses United and other advocates who warned that current administration plans are taking the department on the path towards privatization by dramatically expanding community care eligibility for veterans. You know what? And what is wrong with that? Somebody explain to me, please. Quote, they're trying to fix the VA for pharmaceutical companies. They're trying to fix VA for insurance corporations. And ultimately, they're trying to fix the VA for a non-profit healthcare industry, for a for-profit healthcare industry that does not put people or veterans first. But she doesn't say, but it might be better than what they're living with right now. She made those remarks to an applauding crowd and advocates who have lobbied against these changes for months. Later in the day, Crenshaw offered the opposite view during discussions held by Concerned Veterans of America. He insisted the health care moves are, quote, in no way trying to give away VA responsibilities, but instead are helping the department to evolve into a more modern, more effective healthcare system for veterans. There's a knee-jerk reaction in Washington when something isn't perfect to just add more money, add more personnel. It'll all be okay, he said. That's not true, especially with complex issues like veteran healthcare. At issue are looming changes to eligibility rules for veterans seeking medical care from private sector doctors at taxpayer expense. Under the VA Mission Act, passed last summer, new standards will be put in place this June that could nearly quadruple the number of veterans who could go outside the federal system for that care. About 600,000 veterans enrolled in VA health care are eligible for the existing community care programs. The proposed expanded standards will raise the number to between 1.5 and 2.1 million patients, according to the department. And then we have the argument over what will be the impact of that. Supporters say veterans will be provided more choices and more convenience, more timely care. Opponents have called it a way to siphon off VA dollars to private companies and eventually privatize the government's responsibility to care for veterans. I just don't get it. I don't know why my hemorrhoids can't be seen by my general practitioner, why I got to go to the VA for that. I should go to the VA for mental health. I should go to the VA for prosthetics. I should go to the VA for everything that's combat related. But for my normal health care, if there isn't a VA near me, why do I have to go to the VA? Good question. Number two story in Early Bird. Russia would be Turkey's first best choice for fighters if its F-35 plan flops. Good luck with that deal. You ever look at the Russian record relative to NATO aircraft? It ain't good. I can tell you that. If U.S. officials were to expel Turkey from the multinational group that builds the F-35-2 Lightning, Turkish defense officials said they would likely pursue Russian fighter jet technology. Good luck, bro. Number three, hidden camera found in woman's bathroom aboard a Navy ship. This is the top. This is, like, are you kidding me? A camera on a ship. The U.S. Navy is investigating a report that a female Marine found a camera in a woman's bathroom on the USS Arlington, according to three military officials. In a statement, a spokesman for the Sixth Fleet confirmed that the Naval Criminal Investigative Service is probing a recording device in a head meaning bathroom, aboard the USS Arlington, an amphibious transport dock that is currently in port in Greece. A slow news day, maybe? Or are those the issues we focus on? Number four, prosecutors celebrate victory after ruling in Gallagher war crimes case. Yeah, I'm not sure why you would exclude evidence from his phone. That might be the most pertinent evidence in a case. Number five, yeah, if you read articles about prosecutors, they cannot say enough good things about cell phones, because most of the time, most of the evidence that they need is on the cell phone. That's right. So, yeah, thank you very much. All right. We talked about that. Number five, U.S. could regard cyber attack on Japan as an armed attack, Pompeo said. You know, I think at some point, right, because the weapon's a cyber weapon and does damage to your infrastructure, does that mean it's not an attack? I mean, I honestly think that's crazy. But that's what people would have you believe, that somehow or other that an attack on your infrastructure isn't really an attack because it's just cyber. So if you attack my electrical grid, if you attack what else? I mean, all the different things. If you attack the internet, if you attack our ability to do finance, then you can, that's not really an attack because it's just, you know, it's just electricity. That's a pretty interesting and novel, way of looking at and limiting what is, a provocation to another nation. So, top American and Japanese officials said Friday that a cyber attack on Japan could be regarded as an armed attack requiring a response from the United States under a joint security treaty binding the two allies. The question is, why are we looking? Is an attack not an attack because there's no physical damage? So if you attack me with a laser and I can see the damage, that's a real attack. But if you attack me and steal our technology worth billions of dollars that puts you in a greater place to challenge me as a nation, that's not a real attack. Yeah, that's crazy. That's just crazy. All right, we're gonna take a break. Mikey Torres is gonna join us next. He Leftwich Trophy winner. as a company commander. He a prior enlisted drill instructor, joined the Marine Corps in the 70s. So we're going to talk to him about some of the, get his thoughts on discipline in the Marine Corps, something that General Furness, an argument that he led off last week by releasing a letter. And you can hear his thoughts on it in long format if you go to podcasts here on All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. Mike Etor coming up next on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.